So first of all, I'd like to just ask you, from your experiences, what sort of difficult times can you name that you have seen in churches, either your own or one you've heard about? We'll say it that way so there can be some anonymity. Okay, thank you. So you've got leadership transitions going on, and you've got conflict as a result, and sort of factions in the congregation. I don't know if it was 70-30 or 60-40. A while ago, somebody said to me they were having a hard time deciding if they were for or against something, and he said, well, I'm about 60-40 on that. And I said, well, which way? Well, I'm not sure. Other situations you've faced, yes. Well, that's a good example of a situation that could have gone wrong but was saved by some good words and some good advice. And that also points out the idea that a difficult time often does have a positive result. And an event that is positive can be a difficult time. For example, the first things that you came up with were leadership transitions. And, of course, you're identifying the absence of a pastor or a parting of the ways, and those are difficult things to deal with in the congregation. But even when a new pastor comes who is very much welcomed and the congregation is excited, it's still really a difficult time because there's some adjusting to do. There's sort of the honeymoon and then the reality. And no matter how well it seems to be going, it still is an uncertain time for at least some people in the congregation. You've come up with some good ideas, some good suggestions. Other things could be more like natural disasters. Church fire. You know, probably know of a church that caught fire, and you think about the impact that that had on the congregation. Or a natural disaster close by in the community, which usually brings the best out of a church in terms of service. Transitions, other than leadership transitions, mergers are difficult times. Building programs can be very difficult times, especially if they involve leaving one space for a while or combining spaces. But even renovating a space that has been loved for a long time can be difficult for some. And the push and pull that comes in deciding what are we going to do exactly with this new plan. Those sorts of things. Major changes in membership. Something happens and for some reason a whole lot of people leave. Whether it's an economic reason or a theological reason or a political reason, a lot of people leave. Or all of a sudden, a whole bunch of people come. Now, maybe, you know, you had a few young people come. You know, suppose 50 of them came and stayed come. That would be certainly a difficult transition for the group to adjust to. Same thing with conflict. There's conflict between pastors sometimes. There's conflict between factions in the congregation. There's conflict sometimes between the church and another entity, or another church maybe, or between the church and the community, between the church and the denomination. There are all different ways that this can play out as far as different difficult times. But one thing that is true of all of them is that they are going to affect your worship time. Whether or not the conflict or the crisis is directly about worship, sometimes it is, but whether or not it is directly about worship, it is going to have an effect on the worship because it's something that this congregation is dealing with, and these are the people that gather for worship. So thinking about how worship can be that time and that place and space to bring the church through the difficulty is an important thing to do, especially before you're in it. I know we often learn most when we're in the middle of something, but it's especially good to think about these things before the difficulty hits. Some ideas as far as how these sorts of crises or transitions or conflict affect worship. Thinking about a crisis, you have to think about the fact that almost always there's a loss involved. Almost every one of these situations you've mentioned, there's a loss involved. Now, that loss might be a person. It might be a space. It might be a way of relating that the congregation had been used to. It might be a style of worship if you go with a big change in worship style. Oftentimes, the thing that people are anxious about isn't so much the new thing as the loss they're experiencing. And I find that that changes how we think about the difficulty as leaders and as preachers and pastors and people, worship planners, who are getting feedback, okay, during that difficult time. It doesn't always bring the best out of people, right? And so you're getting complaints, or you're getting people who are distancing. They don't want to be around. They're less involved. You see these reactions, and if you would think about the loss that they are experiencing, I find that that changes my attitude towards them and will change your attitude. Instead of asking, what are they so angry about? Why can't they see this is the right direction to go? Or why can't they just understand, you know, pastor left, something else came up, he decided it was something he wanted to move on to this, or the church board decided that we needed to add a staff person, and it doesn't matter if you like her or not, but the board made this decision. If you look at the person and hear the complaint and say, wonder how they are experiencing this loss. What has this person lost? And then when you think about loss, what do we do with people who've gone through a loss, especially if they've lost a loved one? We know they're grieving. We know that they're going to have stages of deep sadness and maybe denial and then maybe anger before they get to acceptance. We know that's true of grieving people. Well, think about the way people react to difficult times in the church, to a crisis or a conflict. They are experiencing a loss, and they are going through a grieving process too. So we need to be in pastoral care to them. We need to be concerned about them. We need to ask maybe different questions than, do you like this or do you like that? We ask questions that go deeper. How are you experiencing this change? How is this affecting you? How do you think we can come out of this as a better congregation? It's a different approach when you think about the loss that they're experiencing. And sometimes it takes just naming the loss to help people to face that and to understand that we're moving to this new building and we're losing something that many of you loved. So we're going to spend time honoring that, and we're even going to spend time gathering some things from that space and bring them to the new space and do it in a liturgical way to help process it. But we're going to acknowledge the fact that you're going through a loss. Naming it often helps people to understand it and helps us all to move through the difficult time. So that's one thing to remember, that there is almost always a loss involved in these situations. Another thing to remember is that in most congregations, there's a temptation to react instead of respond. There's a temptation to panic, to want to rush to fix things. Okay, that pastor left, we need to get another one really quick because we can't figure out how to do things by ourselves. You know, we don't really want to. We want a pastor to come and do that stuff. So let's get this circle closed quickly and get someone in here. It's a reaction that comes out of that anxiety, but it's probably the worst thing to do is to get someone quickly without taking some time to figure out what the loss is and figure out what we really need for the future and take some time to figure out who we are even in this situation. Responding, just listen to the word, react or respond. Now I'm inflecting them differently too, but a response is more thoughtful. A response is something where you've done some listening, you've done some thinking, even in a crisis situation, taking time to talk to each other about how to go forward, taking time to pray, to look to the Spirit for guidance. These are important things to do rather than just quickly react and allow the pressure of the congregation to force you into making bad decisions too quickly. So that takes a lot of strength to be able to say, no, we don't have to solve this right away. We'll be okay. God is good. We'll get through this. It's going to be a little messy for a while. Transitions aren't easy, but we'll get through it, and try to be that calming influence and even name the fact that it's not easy and that it's tempting to try and fix the problem quickly. But it's usually not the best thing to do. It's sort of a way of avoiding the pain, maybe, sometimes, or avoiding the work. It's hard work to go through a difficulty and really think about who we are and who we are becoming as the body of Christ in this place. That's hard work. And it would be easier to just have someone do that work for us, have someone help us figure out things quickly or solve the problem. Some of the leadership books that you can read talk about the difference between fixing a problem or finding a solution to a problem, the difference between that and actually adapting to a new situation by learning. Most things that happen in churches, most difficult times, are not problems that have easy solutions. Even if it's someone left, we need a new person, it still is really more of an adaptive challenge where the congregation has to learn. Maybe not learn why that person left, but learn who we are now and what do we need and how can we best go forward. So the third thing that I'd like to remind you of, besides the fact that there are losses and that there are these temptations to move too fast and short-circuit the process, the third thing is to remember that difficult times are really times for learning. Now, if you look back, think about even in your own life. When did you have a hard time? You don't have to say it out loud, but think about a hard time you had. And then think about how probably you learned some things that really made a difference for you, made you a better person. It's often in the difficulties that we do the most learning as persons. It's in the difficulties, you know, that oftentimes that we turn to Scripture more and we turn to God more and therefore we learn more. Same thing goes for congregations. It's in the difficult times that we really have an opportunity for learning. Now, I know you're not thinking, oh, I hope our church runs into a difficult time because I'd like to learn a few things. That's not quite how it goes. But actually anticipating, knowing that you will face difficult times along the way, and then anticipating that as a learning opportunity. It's going to be hard in the moment of crisis to remember that, I'll guarantee you. But just thinking ahead when you pray for your congregation and you're thinking, you know, weeks, months, years ahead, and you know those times will come, and just pray that we will have the sense to see the learning opportunity in this difficult time. And there are so many things that you can learn. And wouldn't you rather, after you get through this, say you're going through a building program and there's plenty of conflict about it, wouldn't you rather get to the end of that and have the congregations not say, oh, we'll never do that again, that was awful, but say, we learned some really important things in that process. We learned some things about what we believe about space as we talked that through. We learned some things about how we get along and don't, and we had to talk that through. We learned some things about our ability to get through a difficult time. That's where you want to come out at the end, rather than people saying, that was this horrible chapter, let's see if we can forget it. You wanted them to say, that was difficult. It was pretty fuzzy for quite a while there, but we came through, and this is what we learned, and this is how we are a better congregation now. So with that goal in mind, you, as church leaders, as church members, can be part of that process to help people through to the point where they can say that they've learned in that way. So what does a congregation need to learn? Well, there are lots of things that you can learn, and I'm just going to offer a few here. The first thing that I'd want to mention is to learn about congregational dynamics. Now, that's probably not what you would say in your next board or council meeting. Well, we're facing a crisis, so I think we ought to do a little studying on congregational dynamics. they'll go, what? No, we need to deal with this problem. But it's actually true that in a time when things are a little unsettled, it is a good time to understand and learn about how congregations work. And the fact that they are, in a way, like families, but they are living beings. There are certain things we can learn about congregations. I put out there a green sheet that I'm not going to refer to, except to say there are a list of resources there, a lot of different books on worship and on congregational dynamics that I would recommend to you. And I'm just going to hold one up as if you had to pick one, this is the one I would pick. It's called The Leader's Journey, Accepting the Call to Personal and Congregational Transformation. It's by Jim Harrington, Robert Creech, and Tricia Taylor. The Leader's Journey. If you want a book that would help you understand you and understand your congregation and understand how you both go through a process of change, and a book that's very readable and clear, I would recommend that one. But some of the things that we can learn in difficult times about congregations are the fact that a congregation is a living being, and congregations that are living beings are going to react in certain predictable ways when they face difficult times. Just like as a living person, a living body, we react certain ways, like in a crisis. Okay, I'm hit by a car. My body is going to react to that, right? Even if a transition, say this room gets warmer and warmer and warmer, I'm going to start to sweat. Or I'd start to shiver if it got cold. Or if I started to have an argument with one of you, there would be some physiological changes too. I'd probably start to sweat too. Maybe I'd start to stutter or something. Bodies react in certain predictable ways to crisis and to transition and to conflict. And we can learn about this. And then if we think of our congregation as a living body that sweats sometimes and shivers sometimes and sometimes is just kind of blown away and needs to be picked up, it changes the way we think about that congregation and how we can help them through it, and also how we can anticipate reactions when there's conflict. And we start to look for those evidences of reaction. We can learn these things. We also need to remember that a congregation is not just any living body. It's the body of Christ. And there are certain ways a congregation ought to act, even though there are difficult times. And where do we learn about that? Well, we learn from Scripture. There's certainly all kinds of examples in Scripture of the people of Israel, the people of God, facing difficult times. And did they always respond well? No, sometimes they reacted really poorly. And sometimes we can learn a lot by identifying the stories that connect with us in our situation. But remembering that this is the body of Christ, and this is the group that is called to further the kingdom, and having the respect for the congregation, and even when it's hard to see because they're not behaving very well, still remembering this is the body of Christ and helping them to recall, what is the church supposed to be and do? What are we called to be? Are we supposed to be, you know, fighting against each other? Are we called to love one another? Well, if we can't love each other over this thing, then we need to talk. Then maybe we need to set it aside and talk about who we are and be able to sort out our relationship before we can go on with this project. Remember that we are the body of Christ, and this congregation is an important part of the body of Christ, and there are certain ways God calls us to act. So those are important things to learn. And even in a difficult time, if it's a crisis, it's probably afterward. If it's a conflict, probably during, a transition during, having some time, some opportunities for the congregation to learn these things. Now, maybe you as leader are too involved in whatever is going on, so you get someone to come in from the outside and do some sessions just to learn about a congregation and how it works. They don't even have to talk about your particular issue, but by talking about things in general, other people, you know, little lights will go on, and people will be learning, and hopefully that will affect how they respond to the difficulty that your congregation is in. So learning about congregational reactions to difficulty and reminding the people and comforting them, too, that dying and rising in Christ is something we do as a body together, too, and that is not always easy, and it probably shouldn't be. So we can recognize that, name it, and let's go through it together. And you can just hear how that is so different from responding or reacting yourself in an anxious way, but trying to put some calm in the situation. And we can't still the storms like Jesus did, but we can inject calm into the situation as much as possible. One person, Ronald Heifetz, has written several leadership books, and he has a great line. He says, a good leader, a really effective leader, is less anxious than anybody else in the room. They used to say leaders needed to be non-anxious. Nah, you can't really do that. There's always some anxiety, let's be real, right? If you're not anxious at all, I think, you know, you don't care enough or something. That's probably not a good sign. But to be less anxious than everyone else in the room is a good leader and a person who's making space then for a conversation and for learning to happen. Another thing to learn about in a difficult time is to learn about worship. And again, I'm not going to take a whole lot of time on this. You're here at a worship symposium, and there are lots of things you can do to learn about worship. But there's a yellow sheet that I put back there, which is a summary of some basic norms for worship. And it's taken from this book, which I again recommend if you don't have it, the Worship Source Book, which is a great book for worship planning, has all kinds of resources in it. But in the front of that book is this short article about the meaning and purpose of worship and basic norms for worship. And I'm not going to explain them all, but I want to think just a minute about how they play out in a difficult time. The fact that Christian worship should be biblical. Well, as I said, in a difficult time, you look to the narratives of the Bible to figure out how we get through this time, especially asking the question, what passages, what Bible stories connect with us, or what stories will help us understand what we're going through in a way that we wouldn't understand if we weren't going through this. So looking to the Bible in a new way in terms of biblical worship. Christian worship is dialogic. It's a conversation between God and people. In a difficult time, you want to think about what questions should we be asking God right now? And how should we be listening to God in this difficulty? Are we listening to God or not? If it's a crisis, do we need to have time in worship to lament and to speak our pain? And do we need to have time in prayer to listen to God? Do we need to have silences? So asking those kinds of questions. Christian worship should be covenantal. It's about the promises of God. Especially in difficult times, we need to remember that God has made these promises to us and that God is for us. And that even though we mess up and even though we go through these crises and even though sometimes we get so distressed that the church just doesn't seem to get it, God is still there and the promises are still true and the church worldwide is still growing and the word still goes forth. So there's a comfort in that. Trinitarian worship, the balance that it brings, can be a comfort and a strength and steadying in a difficult time. The fact that worship is communal, especially in conflict, sometimes it's you want to split, right? People want to get away from each other. Well, think about how worship is to be communal and how we can pull together, and even in difficult times, how we can encourage people to be comfortable together, to make a safe space for people to be together. Worship is hospitable, caring, and welcoming. Sometimes when you're faced with a difficulty or a conflict, you don't really, you sort of hope there aren't a lot of visitors because you don't want them to see your dirty laundry or whatever. Actually, it may be the best time for people to come and see what the church is really about. These are people who are struggling through. This church has a conflict, but the people aren't leaving. They're sorting it out. It isn't easy, but it shows how the church will go on. Christian worship should be in but not of the world. Now, this difficult situation you're in is part of the context that you're in. So how are you going to recognize that and then redeem it and move on from it? And then the last one is Christian worship should be a generous and excellent outpouring of ourselves. Even in difficult times, we should still be doing our best in worship and bringing our best gifts and encouraging involvement in worship. So maybe someone needs to bring the best lament or the most honest prayer. Even in difficult times, we do those things. So a difficult time can be a time to learn about worship in a new way, and especially if the difficulty is related to worship. If the conflict is about worship, then it's especially important not to keep talking about the conflictual point, but to go deeper to these basic concepts and say, well, what are we really about here? Why do we worship? Who is worship for, first of all? Is it about us and what we want? Is it about God and what we do to praise God and to honor God, to give glory to God, and how do we do that? And getting down to those deeper issues, and especially at a biblical level, you're going to be in agreement. And then when you work back towards the details of what you were arguing about, you may find that it's not as conflictual as you thought because you found a ground that you're agreed on. So good time to worship, to think about worship in a deeper way and to learn about it and to recognize that worship is formative. Difficult times form us and give us patterns. And in worship especially, we keep going through the liturgical patterns that are formative. We think about how children are formed with the patterns and the habits that they get used to. The same goes for worship. And we ought to continue in those habits. Now, maybe in a difficult time, you would have, you would say, now we're facing this, so we really should introduce songs and prayers that are especially appropriate now. But if you have every song be a new song when they're already facing difficulty, that's not going to go. So you have to balance that out. And sometimes it's the familiarity that is needed most. But sometimes there is a new song that just so captures it, and might even become the song that 10 years from now we sing it and we all go back, yeah, remember that song that got us through that time. So thinking about those habits and moments of new creativity, all of them as formative for worship in a difficult time. I'd like to talk just a little bit about these types of difficulties and what sorts of aspects of worship we would focus on. For example, with crisis. Crisis will often require a time of lament in worship. And especially in North America, that's not usually an element we use a lot. Some churches hardly ever lament in worship. And yet, in the scriptures, there's all kinds of lament. Work through the Psalms. It's almost embarrassing how strong the words that are said against God and to God in the Psalms are. And there, when you use them, you almost have to think about your congregation. Can they speak these words? But allowing for sadness and even madness in worship, to be angry and to bring those emotions to God in worship. Because even in those emotions, we are reflecting the image of God that is created in us. It's not like God doesn't understand these things. Worship should be a place where we can bring our pain. It certainly happened after 9/11. It certainly happens in your congregation if a young child is killed in an accident and you say, why, God, why? It's okay in worship to name that why and to not cover it up, but to express those feelings and lament. In a time of conflict, probably the part of the service that is going to be the most important will be the time of confession and reconciliation. And sometimes you need to have a service to do that if you've really had a difficult conflict. It has to be carefully done. You can't force people into emotions and thoughts and words that they aren't ready for. But thinking about a call to confession when we have wronged one another, and thinking about how we can be reconciled in Christ together, even though we've been in conflict. The transitions, there are so many different types with leadership transitions or space transitions or membership transitions or sometimes direction transitions. They will affect probably all different parts of the liturgy, but the main thing that you're going to need is careful discernment about what is fitting and how to express in worship what is going on and to address it. And especially with themes for preaching and themes for the service, biblical themes that will identify with the situation and help the congregation to learn. But in other ways, thinking of prayers and appropriate songs. And in this book, there are a lot of examples of those for each of those three types of difficulty, the crisis, the transition, or the conflict, examples of prayers and songs, etc., that you can use. It's just a sampling. There are a lot more in other places, I'm sure. But thinking about those themes and what sorts of things will connect with your congregation, especially during this difficult time, and then thinking about the seasons of the year, for example. Lent is coming up. Lent might be very different after a crisis. Lent might be very hard during a conflict. Advent, too, can be very difficult for a church that, you know, they really sense this longing, this how things aren't right yet, how we are waiting and waiting for the next coming in the time of Advent. And so how to live into that as a congregation and acknowledge that is an important thing to be aware of and to understand if there's so much hurt that it's just really hard to sing Christmas songs when you get to Christmas. Some congregations wonder if they can even do it. So being aware of the year, the different elements of worship that will especially connect in the difficult time can be helpful for planners as they go through this. Watching the clock a little bit, I think I'm not going to say too much about leadership since I've mentioned things already, but you can see the list of items there. It's important to know yourself, know what makes you anxious so you're prepared for these situations. You have to know your congregation. You have to communicate clearly, especially in a crisis. Sometimes there's things you can't say. They're confidential. Or sometimes there's things you ought not say because they'd be too hurtful. Understanding what to say and how to say it and doing that in communication with the leaders of the church is really important. Practicing healthy reciprocal leadership, that's another whole session, but that's about how leaders and congregations are all part of effective leadership in the church. It's a reciprocal relationship. Expecting suffering, that's something that, I don't know, we don't have a class on that at the seminary, but maybe we should. Because you really shouldn't expect to not suffer if you're going into ministry, if you're going to be a church leader or a worship planner. I just talked to somebody this morning who is so hurt by the reaction to the changes that she's been making in worship planning in her church. And I said, you know, it's hard to be the crucible. But if you are called to carry the cross that way right now for this congregation, that's what you need to do. It's painful. You're going to suffer. You need to be prepared for that. And again, stilling the storm. I meant to reach for this one. Jesus stilling the storm. This is where you go for the strength that you need to get through the difficult time, because you know it's going to be difficult for you too as a leader. Stay connected with the congregational leaders, especially if you're a worship planner. You need to know what's happening on the elder board. They need to communicate with you so that if they know what people are dealing with, you can be prepared to address that well in worship and in a fitting and discerning way. So how do we plan worship in difficult times? Just last comments here, and then I'd like to hear your comments and questions. You have to listen to the congregation. Listen to their feelings, their questions. Ask them what texts come to mind. What Bible passage are you going to lately? Maybe that's one we need to deal with together. What songs are you thinking of? Listen to the congregation. Listen to the other leaders in the church. I just mentioned that, especially being aware if it's a difficult situation. Someone's been charged with a crime, or a leader has been taken out of office because of abuse. Those are very difficult ones. All sorts of issues and betrayals, and there's confidentiality issues there. So you have to be careful, and you have to be wise, and you have to communicate with leaders and worship planners and preachers. Learn about the situation. Whatever you're going through, there are resources out there to learn. Even if it's just something that seems innocuous, like a building plan or a renovation, find some resources about how you actually need to process the people going through such a transition. And then just finally, that last item, to look for resources. There are books. The Alban Institute has a lot of different books. There's a great website called Congregational Resource Guide. If you want to Google that, I think it's congregationalresources.org. A wonderful website with all sorts of ideas for how to get through some of these situations.